Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
All right, Poodle, wake up. Time to start show. Poodle. Poodle, wake. Poodle!
I swear I didn't know he was married.
Oh, Jesus.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do-do-do-do.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day fiance.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes. Let's love.
Y'all, this is a show. Reality gays. Do you know where we are now?
Sorry, flashbacks.
Flashbacks.
Last night.
Why are you so tired, Poodle?
It's a good night had by all.
It's a good night had by all.
Y'all, this is reality gaze, and this is Toe.
This is Toe. Our voices sound like screechy. Crack out.
You're a little squeaky.
Yeah, you're just gravelly.
I'm gravelly. Yeah.
Yep.
You're gravelly. Y'all, we had our first live show last night.
We had our first live show.
I'm a little worse for the wear.
Talked
to a lot of people.
We were doing the meet and greet, and it was going well, and then I turned around. It was around 11:48, and I turned around to take a picture with Poodle, and he was gone. And I just saw a listener standing in the corner crying, and I said, "What's wrong, sugar?" And she said, "I don't know where my husband is." And I didn't say anything, and I said, "I'm sure he'll turn up," and I left the theater as quickly as I could.
You know what? He'll have a lot of good stories. So
I scanned the LA Times this morning to see what arrests were made in MacArthur Park for cruising. Luckily, I didn't see anything. I was worried.
Don't go in that bathroom. You will see a new world.
And maybe a cure for the common cold.
Yeah, everything's happening there. But no, in all seriousness, y'all, we were blown away by that. It was so great. Getting to meet lots of you, and your words about you, people. We had a great time.
Yes,
we hope everyone else had a really good time.
Yes,
we had Priscilla the party bus outside.
We did, boy. I kind of knew this, but to know that, y'all, some sissies turned up,
mm-hmm.
bitches turned up.
I felt a little unsafe on the party bus.
A little bit.
I felt a little.
Well, you did show your creamy shoulders to everyone, and it sent them into a panic. It was bedlam.
It kind of was like when in the zoo with the gorilla cages.
Yes,
it
yes.
did. Someone threw shit at me.
Yes, basically, yes. It was cuckoo. I did not. We were
like an inmate when like a pretty woman, like a jail cell block, and a pretty woman walks through.
People made shirts.
It was unbelievable.
Someone made a shirt that said, "We need to move on." And then on the back it said, "Southern stories are sad, y'all."
Yeah, there's some. There was some House of 11
House
memorabilia.
Of 11.
Who's Tracy?
Who's Tracy? Oh, I wish we had got a picture with, but well, both of them.
You did. But, you screamed. Well, but come
both,
up here.
But both of them. Oh, well. Afterwards. We could have been a Choose Tracy sandwich.
I was a sandwich later on that evening.
Oh, boy. Anyway, we signed. It was a magical, magical evening. Shout out to our booking agent, Kristen, who went above and beyond. She did all the, once we found out it was a dry event, we knew we needed to have people feel like there was a way for them to celebrate. And, and she handled that whole part of the thing.
If you guys didn't hear, we have basically found out on Thursday that the venue
through
did
a
not,
sissy who
through a sissy
who
like,
was drunker than Cooter Brown.
God,
the party
bless her.
God bless her.
But she was the one who said, "You guys, I don't know if you don't know this, but it looks like this event is there's no liquor license at this place," and we went. No one told us.
And we were like, surely not. Surely not.
I've never heard of a comedy venue.
And even though we mentioned in like five emails, cocktails.
Yeah, we're just going to shade the fuck out of him. It was.
The staff at Dynasty was fantastic.
The staff just, let's just say the administration left a little.
But the administration was like, yeah, sorry. And we were like, what? Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to make this work. Our ticket agent said, how about a party bus? And we're like, sure, let's pay for it.
That's not going to be the standard if you're listening, because y'all, we didn't make money on this show.
And the party bus took care of that.
Cost a lot of money, but it was we did it because we wanted this to, as Poodle says, we're going to start with a bang. And then usually end with one, but we wanted to start
with
one.
And I did end with one. So I want to say to we're very excited. We had our show last night, and we were and it made me even more when I woke up this morning. I'm even more excited for Chicago and New York shows.
It's very exciting. It's cuckoo meeting, like seeing people that we've seen
names that are appearing.
And then also people wearing the mask. So like I would kind of recognize somebody's eyes and then we'd say like who it was. And also meeting Sissy Christina who edits our memes.
Yes. And, like, and our and
it's like four, seeing an old
friend. Four of our mods from our mod squad were there.
So it is the like seeing people you've always known. It's such a surreal feeling now. We've all been locked in these computer screens. So,
and I will say this. I was very impressed with myself and a little scared. I was more than willing to hug a lot of people.
You were, but I would have been totally fine if you didn't want to. But
that's
you did.
True.
You hugged a lot of people. You did say at the end of the show, that I was like, how are you doing? And you said, I'm never hugging anyone again. And that's fair.
Yeah. There was a point where I was taking a photo with someone and they were just rubbing my back in a circular motion. I didn't love that as much. Didn't love
Sissy,
that touching.
Sissy's got a little touch. Got a little,
got a little touch sensitivity issue. That is true.
But you probably have already heard it because this because the live show.
You got the live show podcast.
We didn't give you the whole audio, though, y'all. There's some things we want to keep just for the live
show. Some things are just going to be on the live show.
Some of the games and some of the improv stuff you're not going to get. Because that's
we want to keep that. We want to keep that to be a surprise.
Yeah.
Keep that sacred, as it were.
It was a moment that seemed to happen overnight, but was years in the making that Poodle and I dreamt of.
There were some moments that were complete. I will say there were some moments like the Chicken Jenny thing that went longer than it had, and then the piano improv. There was a piano on stage.
Yes.
So I was like, this is kismet.
We're not going to have a piano. We're not having a piano on stage normally.
But I think those are my favorite moments that are just completely improv'd.
Yeah.
A woman had a problem with, she's like, oh, I haven't watched the show. We're like, fuck you. We're going to do it anyway.
Poor Isabel. She didn't, that was her name, y'all. She was basic. She hadn't seen the show. She was so down. She was like, oh no, I haven't seen it. And then Poodle immediately shaded her and said, you're not missing anything.
I was like, what the, you think, just from saying that, you think we're going to fucking not do the show?
They're here. They heard this. Y'all heard this on the podcast, but still.
I just like the fact that her idea might have been, oh, well, maybe they'll just do another show now.
Like, y'all, here's the deal, 90 Day Fiancé. There's not a twist. After Maria, there's not any twist. Maybe
especially this season. I mean, it's good. Toad is great.
Toad is great.
There's no big twist. Like if I told you the big twist would be like Jenny getting run over by a rickshaw.
Yeah, or deciding to be a lesbian.
God, that would be amazing.
That'd be amazing. But no,
it's not going to happen.
No, it's not. There might be twists in Single Life. We don't know. Y'all, Single Life is up.
Single Life is up. It's back. Natalie's it's just as crazy.
It's on our $5 Patreon tier. And then when it drops on TLC, because right now it's on Discovery+.
It's going to be on the free tier.
Free tier.
And who knew that, we said before, on that Single Life pod, who knew that Mother Debbie would be the heart of it?
Who knew?
And be the one who we can kind of empathize with.
And root for.
Yeah. We're not covering Rose's ex. We're not covering
Big Pred. So you don't have to worry about
that.
We're not even watching a second.
Jesse and Jennifer are just as gross as you would imagine.
We're going to watch them for Jesse's ass and also a little bit of
Kakua.
Kakwa, yes, that's his
yes.
name.
Whoa.
Someone show me his Instagram. Disappointing.
Pinga grande.
Pinga grande. Mucho grande. Mm-hmm. ¿Cómo se dice girthy in Espanol? Boy. And y'all, shout out again to your husbands and boyfriends who came to the show.
I got to meet, and I
gave one of them a lap dance on the bus. Okay,
I did
two of them.
I did meet one, and I put my arm around him a little bit, and I think I kind of see either he was turned on or he was nervous. It's not like when the chicken hawk is going right down at the chicken.
So now,
sensed my predatory nature. True.
Some people, so if you didn't listen to the first episode yet, go back and listen. Some people are like, I don't like listening to live shows. Well,
fuck
sorry,
off.
We're not going to do the show twice. So sorry.
Skip it.
But if you did,
I am not here to curate your best of all possible
worlds.
We're
not. So if you did miss it, we're going to be talking about the second half of Couples today. Poodle, what other announcements do we have?
Besides, we talked about New York live shows in Chicago.
Those are coming.
Friday shows are available. We're doing two nights in both those cities, January 7th and 8th, and January 28th and 29th.
Yes.
Big news, though, more cities are going to be very soon.
Very soon. So
to be announced.
Yes.
So we may announce, I know we're at least announcing three.
Yes.
Boy, I'm such a fucking tease today. I want to tell them so badly.
You know, I sent a video that I posted a video, or sent it to my dad of us a live show with everyone in the crowd. And you know what my father's response was? He went, wow, y'all look professional.
Got him fooled.
I was like, that was shady.
Well, seeing as how you probably heard it on the thing where you announced what we're going to do incorrectly twice.
You know what? I was busy. So, yes, we've got live shows coming up, and then also Poodle, Selling Sunset.
Selling Sunset on our $5 Patreon, as well as season two of Tiger Queens. Mm. Y'all, I don't know how much.
I'm not
much,
hopeful for it.
I don't know how much. I don't think they had more. They didn't go back and get more footage.
No, I forgot to turn the timer on.
So, why do we always forget to turn the timer on? That's your job.
Well,
you told me you had to have it because it bothers me when I look at it.
We can turn it off. I don't know. I told you I could look at the clock on my iPad.
No, I need it.
Thank you.
I think that's it for...
We don't know about Tiger Queens. I don't know if it's going to be good. Hopefully, it's not a rehash. Hopefully it's not like the second... what's the second documentary to Grey Gardens? It's just kind of like, eh.
I don't know if there was... There is one. The Beals of Grey Gardens.
The Beals of Grey Gardens. It's okay.
But all this is gay.
But all the good stuff's in Grey Gardens.
I think we're ready to talk about the show.
Let's do it. Okay.
This was the two couples that we didn't talk about on the live show, which are
Corey and Evelyn.
We talked about Jenny and Submit. Mm-hmm. We talked about
Benny and Ari.
And Kenny and Armando. And the audience, because we're going to do the live shows, especially if we're doing two nights, and then we're long-winded. So we'll only have time to do two or three of the couples because these shows are two fucking hours long. And so the audience was very, very opinionated.
They were.
That they did not want us to talk about Corey and Evelyn.
Which I was wanted to, honestly. But they
did.
They didn't want us to, so.
They're done with them.
It's part of their show.
And as well as Ellie and Victor, which was just a sadness palooza this week.
Yeah, it was.
So, anyway, let's talk about Corey and Evelyn, or as I said last night, Nightmare on Pig Street.
Nightmare on Pig Street, y'all.
Because Evelyn blames Corey for making her have bad dreams.
Bad dream. Y'all, and the thing is, she's justified by it. She still, it's like it actually happened. Well, if he hadn't broken my trust like this and treated me like shit, I wouldn't be having these dreams.
The audacity.
Wow.
It's amazing. So, y'all, they have picked a wedding date. And they're meeting with the planner, which I think was so boring that we did not really see it.
No. Yes.
But
they showed like snippets. It's really pretty.
Yeah, it's a nice venue.
Because Poodle, is Evelyn planning this wedding or is Corey?
No, Surf Jesus is paying through the nose.
And Evelyn says, "Well, yeah, I'm having Corey plan the wedding because this really isn't important to me and I don't really care about it." So I told him if he wants to do it, he's got to plan it.
Because as Evelyn told him, you know, I never wanted to get engaged and you made me get engaged.
You made me get engaged.
Married, and you made me get married.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So, you know, you're going to pay for everything.
Yeah. She literally said, you know, you're going to plan this wedding because I don't care. Hands on the wheel.
And even more importantly, she's like, but I'm not getting married in a church and I'm not going to get married in religion. Because I know you're Mormon, so that's really fucking important to you.
And she says, for me, this wedding is about giving you a second chance.
Could you believe that?
I'm going along with it.
Oh! So...
Wow.
So this...
She's so hot and cold.
No, she's cold and cold.
No, but like last episode, she was like, oh, Corey's been really sweet, and they were much more loving. And you're like thinking, okay. But you're right. She's cold and lukewarm.
Yeah.
That's what she is.
So, yeah, then she talks about the dreams. And then
she
says,
you made me so mad last night. And Surf Jesus says, I can't do anything about what you're dreaming about. And she's like, well, in the dream, I saw Jenny. And Jenny, she told me that something like she's better.
And I was
with
like,
you.
He's like, and I was hitting her in the face.
And I was hitting her in the face. And then I was hitting you in the face. And then I was hitting both of you in the faces. And then I woke up so hard, my hand was hurting. It was throbbing because I think I was actually hitting my hand. And you did that, Corey. You did that to me.
And with that hand, I was finger banging myself.
Yeah.
Because I really get off on punishing you.
I really get off on punishing you. Wow.
I don't think I've ever seen... obviously, part of this is a kink for him to be with us person like this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, you know, Corey, go do your thing.
Go do your thing.
But boy, this woman's reprehensible.
She's pretty. Ugh.
And my favorite thing that she said was, you know, here's the thing, Corey. If you get married through God, your marriage is kind of dead. And I was like, that is kind of the antithesis of Corey's life.
Exactly. Exactly.
How she are you two even in the same place?
She's like, yeah, and if we get married, then that means it's for death do us part. And Corey actually says, that's what marriage is. That's it, Evelyn.
And y'all, they haven't even talked about this, obviously. And this is... When I wrote this again, this is a major example of we're moving the goalposts. You're moving it down. See if you're going to cross that line. Because, y'all, the more she can get him to move his own goalposts about what's acceptable to him, the more she can turn around at the end and say, sorry, Corey, it was all your decision to do all this.
Which is what she's doing now.
And she's like, you could have said no. But so she's suggesting things, and he'll come back with, you made me do this. You made me do this. And she will come back with saying, Corey, you agreed to all of this.
That is what
you
she will
agreed.
Do.
You agreed. I was just, you should have told me. You should have told me.
You didn't stand up for yourself. I'm tired of standing up for you. I'm so bothered
by this. There's no way you can win. There's not even win. There's no way you can retain a sense of your own wants and needs with someone like Evelyn.
No.
And Surf Jesus is a complete loser. We all know that.
Yeah.
And if we liked him, I think we'd have more problems with her completely destroying his soul.
It doesn't matter. I will say, this is jumping ahead, but next week he's talking to someone else, and it's, did you see that?
That I think it's his brother. His brother is gorgeous.
He's not hot. His brother's gorgeous.
His brother's gorgeous. Either a brother or a friend.
If it's his brother, then Corey got the wrong genes. Those kind of small eyes that are close together with his... But his brother, whoa.
Kind of looks like a seal from the Pacific Northwest, Corey does.
Oh, I was like, his brother? No.
No.
Yeah, he kind of does.
Very seal-like. Yeah,
he could be the penguin in a Batman remake.
So,
a very bad penguin.
So after they're moving the goalposts, he's washing his car.
Washing his car.
Stepping in mud. And
Evelyn, yeah, she comes out.
Evelyn's like, oh, yeah, I think it was fun. I really like what you picked out. I think we should talk about the officiant because, you know, things are getting – I realize there's not enough that you feel terrible about.
No, and so Corey says, well, I would like to use your family's pastor.
Which – and he thinks that is giving something up from her.
But he also says, and is in the moment, he said, I want to get married in the church because I want Evelyn to take this more seriously.
Right.
So, y'all, it's not just, oh, I want to get married. He does want to kind of,
and
he doesn't want to trap her, but he does want her to feel the seriousness.
But can I say, I am shocked he does not want to get married in a Mormon temple somewhere.
I'm shocked, too.
Because that's a big fucking deal, y'all.
I guess he's not much Mormon anymore.
He may not identify as LDS anymore.
Well, I don't think he was soaking with Jenny. I think they were fucking.
But I'm saying it doesn't matter for a lot of even former Mormons. It's about the celestial kingdom.
No,
so
it's
maybe
true.
He's completely non-observant. But it's still important to him.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's been saying he wants a religious wedding because she's afraid of getting divorced. So
yes,
y'all, this is totally this idea of should we get a prenup or should we not get a prenup?
Because she says, she does keep saying like what you said, but I just want to cover that. She keeps telling him to his face, I don't want to get married if we end up getting divorced. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Can you imagine? Like,
then don't get married. But oh, wait. You're already married. Like,
that's
there's
true.
No point in all of this. This is all just pageantry. You're not even fucking fiancés anymore.
That is, I always forget that they're still married.
Yes,
they're already married.
It's like Brittany going, oh shit.
I forgot I was married.
Brittany forgot she was married.
And then we keep forgetting she was married.
We keep forgetting, y'all. So Evelyn, it just proves she's not doing this.
This is
all just to fuck with him and cuckold
yeah,
him.
Yeah, this is.
That's what all this is for.
And this is, and also because he cheated, technically he cheated even though she told him to get the fuck out.
She listens to that Carrie Underwood song every fucking
before
morning.
He cheats.
That's her meditation song. She just sits there.
Into the night of his. But this thing about, she says, this is the definition of hedging your bets.
Yes.
Of saying, and you know, this is a poodle move too. I'll be honest. I like to know where the exits are.
You do.
I'm always looking for an out. When my father taught me to
drive. Or you're looking for an in.
The old in out.
You were last night. And don't worry, sissies. If your husband hasn't come home yet, he wasn't cheating.
He'll be home.
If he was with poodle.
It ain't cheating. We had a really good time. Lined him up outside Coronado Street like Studio 54.
I just hope someone didn't do coke off your dick.
Good times.
We need to move on.
But so the concept here of, I get what she's saying, but she's basically saying, the thing is, I don't know if you're going to cheat on me, so it'd be much easier if we just got married with my sister, the officiant. And he's like,
with Leslie, he goes,
wait,
what?
The person in the world who hates me the
she
most.
Hates him, y'all. She, what did you, okay.
This is straight up trolling.
What was
this
your,
is a troll wedding.
What did you do whenever she said my sister?
Squealed.
I could see you like throwing your
pads. Yes. And in every episode, Evelyn does something to Corey that makes me laugh hysterically because it is just and this sounds awful, but it's just funny because he's an idiot.
Oh, so dumb.
And we laugh at stuff that consistently happens to dumb people.
Yes. And he's so dumb he can't defend himself.
No!
Because he even said, like, are you kidding? That's the last person I want to get married to. But y'all, she ends up guilting him into it.
This and is a troll him, wedding.
And making him feel like he's the asshole.
This wedding and Leslie, he's like, I'm just worried Leslie's going to say something really mean publicly.
It's the last
person. Of course she will.
Yes, it's the last person I want to marry us.
So y'all.
And Corey even says, she doesn't want us to be together.
She's hedging her bets that Leslie and everything she's doing will still remind Corey he is nothing more than dirt under yes. her feet to her.
Yes,
because
but she's,
that's the way they exist.
She says, but when his response is, she doesn't even want us to be together, or Evelyn says, well, that's on you. She's seen all the stupid things you've done. If you were a better boyfriend and more attentive, she would like you.
I swear to God, if Surf Jesus was a more... I don't even know if it's a more appealing person or just had more of a personality besides boiled potatoes.
Or a better dick. Y'all, he's got a nice ass.
I might want to stick up for him, but I just don't.
Yeah.
There's something about him that, and we're just going to watch her cuckold him emotionally over
and over, over
and over again. I hope they're never on another season. I can't imagine.
No, they're going to be.
But, oh my God, what if they're on Happily Ever After? I will, well, that's they're probably not because Happily Ever
they're
After
not happy.
Is only, that has never, ever been a requirement.
It is not. It is
Let's
not.
Think about that. But it's usually only American couples.
Yeah. They'll always be toe.
I think they'll always be toe. So they're going to be...
They'll be on toe because think about it.
I think they're going to be married, though. I think
they're going to get married. Oh, I think they're perfect for one another in a weird. Yeah. They're perfect and horrible for one another, but they're actually, I know they're perfectly dysfunctional together.
Yep.
And they feed on each other's dysfunction. And what's going to be really fucked up and hard is Corey's going to end up probably talking Evelyn into having a kid.
Yep.
Even though Evelyn doesn't want to, but she'll realize. Oh,
she'll have something to guilt him about for his whole life.
His whole life if they have a kid.
Because there's nothing stronger for Evelyn, y'all. So what do you think? Before we go on, I want to just take a quick poll. How many marriages are we going to get this season? Do you think we're going to get Jenny and Sumit? I'm on the fence. I'm legitimately on the fence.
Yes. Well, okay. If Jenny can handle it, yes. But you know what? Actually... No, I don't think Sumit's going to marry her. I don't think he is. Jenny
oh
will.
God.
Even after all this, Jenny will take him back and marry him. I don't think Sumit's going to marry her.
I'm hoping against hope that they get married in the courthouse.
I'm hoping they don't get married. Y'all, Jenny needs to come back to Palm Springs and
That's
lick her wound.
That's never going to happen.
It's
I
not.
Don't think it's ever going to happen. I think definitely Kenny and Armando are going to get married.
We've seen the pictures. Definitely. They're getting married.
What do you think about these two are the only other potentials?
Potential. Because Benny and Arium.
I don't know. Benny Arium.
Arium. That's their couple name. Arium. He's going to come to the U.S., I think.
Yeah.
And then
they'll get married later.
And then we have.
Ellie and Victor.
Steve and Alina. They weren't on
They're
going to
get married.
I think they're going to get married.
They're going to get married.
They're going to get married. Alina, run.
I can't wanna marry you.
The thing is, the last thing Evelyn says is, well, Corey, I never wanted to be married. You convinced me. That's what happened. You convinced
It's and, just the coup de grace.
And then she says, even just... It's like she takes a dump right in front of him in a brown paper bag and pours the kerosene on it. And then as she drops the flame, she says, and now I'm finally asking for one thing.
That was the most laughable thing.
I just want to remind everyone, Corey paid for the bar in Pigtown that she wanted and he didn't want.
More than that, Corey decided, instead of the concept the other way, Evelyn said, I'm not going to the U.S. I hate the U.S.
So Corey...
The only way to live... So Corey moved his whole life.
And now we know...
All of his finances.
The reason she didn't move to the U.S. because it's a whole... goes all back to the Wicked Witch of the S. She has no power there. She has no power there.
You know, that is so true.
That is so true. So that's why they live in...
Because when she visits, she doesn't have this kind of support system.
And she's dependent on him because she had to do the K-1 visa. Mm-hmm. She would not be on her own until she...
And she likes Corey at her mercy. I think she will not like Corey as much when he speaks Spanish well.
No.
Which is going to be 10 years from now.
Because he'll
be independent.
Because y'all... Every Mormon I know can speak language fluently because they go on a mission.
Maybe that's why.
And languages are a big thing.
Maybe Corey, that's why he got kicked out of the church because he couldn't learn Spanish.
Corey never can learn any type of language.
He's doing better, though. I don't want to give him a lot of credit.
She did ask him that she also asked if she could put anal beads in him and peg him. And he does that now, too.
He does that now. He's on OnlyFans, y'all.
And she told him to get on OnlyFans. She's done nothing but tell him what to do and ask for things constantly.
I only want one thing. And the thing about it is, people like Evelyn have the audacity to say shit like that all the time.
All the time.
No one's ever going to check them.
No.
I don't know. I think there are only two more episodes left.
Yeah.
I keep saying that.
You keep saying it because you want it to happen, but I don't know. Because, Poodle, you're just wishing on a Matt Sharp dream on that one.
Yep. So... Anyway. That's it for them. We're going to take a quick little break.
All right.
We'll be back to talk about Alien Victor.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies,
We've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all black classics to fun expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself. Never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
Let's talk about Ellie and Victor, otherwise known as 90 Day Fiancé DOA. Not toe, DOA.
Wow.
Y'all, what is there to say? Is there any hope?
I mean, like, what do they do next? Like, after this, like, go to Haiti and volunteer and we just see. Like, it's so sad.
Does he get swept out to sea and she just, like, throws him a lifesaver?
But a shark eats him before he reaches it?
And then she just kind of mopes around, yep, Providencia for a while?
And then she becomes famous for bringing pizza to Providencia. and she names it after Victor's Pizza.
Or she slowly poisons him.
Wait.
Which is my theory.
See, I created a Pixar movie, and you created...
A true crime thing. So, y'all, Ellie and Victor, I just... Why I say this, why I say DOA, you guys, is we had another example of them kind of... trying to work through parts of their relationship while they are working through building his life back together. And also they're trying to build her life there. Number one, it's way too much to do. It's way too stressful.
It's just too much for a new relationship. It is really difficult.
It's unsustainable.
This is crazy difficult for a relationship that's been together for 10 years.
Yep. Yep.
It's just, I almost don't blame either of them.
There's no hope.
I don't blame either of them, honestly, in this. I'm really just kind of like, y'all got handed maybe one of the shittiest decks of cards.
Yep.
You need to fold in your deck, take it back to the dealer, and you both go your separate ways.
I blame her for this reason. She went in with such rose-cutter glasses and no dose of reality at all. Anybody else would have said, couldn't this work?
See, but I agree with you, but I could also see me, I don't know if I would now, but I could see me saying, what does that make her look like? If she says, hey, I can't do this, then she looks like the asshole that left her fiance because a Category 5 hurricane ruined his town.
No, I'm saying that was farther on the path. I'm saying I would have gotten out when a woman contacted me and said...
Again, we forgot about that. I forgot that he cheated on her.
That's what I'm saying.
With a relationship.
This hurricane is the big bad.
This is,
there were like four other bosses before the big bad, and so they all destroyed you.
If LA was like an evangelical or superstitious Christian or something like that, she would say, God's warning me.
Yes. It's God like sent me signs along the way.
The universe is saying, bitch, this ain't for you.
Because, and there have been, and like she said that she'll sometimes hear from him, and then she sometimes won't. And then they'll have little fights. And then this woman who said, you know, we're living together, and he did all this for me. And the fact that he really wasn't clear and wasn't honest with her about it and said, mm-hmm. oh, she was lying about everything.
Yep.
And then she found out she wasn't lying about everything.
She wasn't. And he still, even when they talked about earlier.
He refuses to talk about it.
He doesn't talk about it. And we see a little bit more of kind of, granted, he's gone through a lot, but we see Victor's kind of way he handles emotions, and y'all, it's not good.
And I just want to say, and I understand him saying, you don't know what I've been through. It is two different situations of her being cheated on by him, basically living a double life.
Yeah.
And this hurricane.
They're not comparables.
And I know that, and if it was me, I probably would not have, like Ellie, chosen to bring this up when he's in the middle of grieving his island.
I think, to me, the thing that was sad about this episode, y'all, because they're driving around, and
Ellie's like, oh, I think wow. there's still a couple trees left.
Is completely incinerated. What? It's like she doesn't even... So that's what I don't understand with her.
She's been in Seattle way too long.
I guess just did they not have natural disasters in Seattle?
What
did they get?
This woman,
coffee shortage?
Besides complete tragedy in her life, this woman has been sheltered.
But it's not just a little tragedy. She woke up beside her dead husband.
Allegedly.
This is big.
That she had nothing to do with.
This is a big fucking deal. But it is like... But there.
I should have asked that last night. Who thinks Ellie killed her husband?
You should have asked that. You missed that opportunity.
Damn it.
But it boggles my mind that, you know, if she was young, even if she was like in her early 30s, I'd maybe be like, she's just a little emotionally immature. She doesn't get it. This bitch is our age.
I know. She's older than us, actually. Like,
she grown.
She's 46, I believe, right?
I think she knows better.
Yeah.
She should know the depths of what this. You don't have to. It's just the cluelessness of her.
Well, and there's just, and there's also a level. We talk a lot about, I said rose colored glasses earlier, but I think I would call this delusional. I think her friend Hiromi saw that, and she had tried to talk her out of it. She'd done everything aside from trying to reprogram her.
Exactly.
And they're like, well, I guess we have to go watch Ellie destroy her life and throw it away on this guy who they're going to own. Even when she says it, we'll just go someplace and own a bar and just like be there. And everyone who's watching this relationship goes, this is never going to happen.
It's never going to happen.
And we kind of had a little bit of nice step at the beginning where we went, maybe this can work. Who knows?
Well,
she can start over again. But every episode, you guys, has presented us with the same thing. A roadblock where she talks about money and he starts fighting with her.
Well, he kind of gets snippy, but this time he really is, you see, kind of.
He's a dick.
He's just dickish.
Yeah, he's a dick.
Maybe it's a cultural thing that they don't talk about emotions.
He does not like to be questioned at all by her.
From knowing he has a bit of a DV past.
Yeah.
Seeing y'all, because he does have that. He does have a past.
I forgot about that. That really happened?
So much. Allegedly. I don't know if it was confirmed, but his first wife said there was some like. Remember that, like, he pushed her or something
like
that?
That's right.
So,
and now they got past it, though, I think. But still.
Seeing his behavior, the way he acted, especially when he'd been drinking.
Oh, that's true.
I was like, this gives me red flags.
And her kind of, and you can see her, you guys, shut down PTSD style. And it's again, really hard to watch.
Which has nothing to do with him. I think she.
It's all her stuff.
I think. Ellie, basically, ever since her husband, maybe that's it, her husband died, or even before that, she...
Of natural causes.
Yes. She will do everything in her power not to have any confrontation ever in her life at all. And that is literally how she wakes up every day wanting to be.
So, y'all, Victor, so this is what happened. Vic, there he's, as I think he says, we're doing a lot better. And I would take issue with that. But he's like, I'm going to today, and I think, and I can see how this would think that he's helping his case and for her to understand it. This, to me, is a bomb. It is an emotional bomb for her to kind of weightily share his burden. And I get it that he thinks she doesn't understand. Of course she doesn't.
She and not that, you know what?
Because I could see his point. I see his point.
I see. She doesn't need to understand. I think he wants her to empathize.
Yeah.
And she's not at all.
And I wonder.
And she's like, I just want to say, her growth in this, she's emotionally stunted.
Yeah. I think that's a problem.
And in a weird way, he doesn't talk about it, but he is less than she is. Because he shows her. It's graphic in the way that it really, I think even I felt there. We were all there. He shows this house, y'all. He says, oh, we were in the house. And then we noticed, like, they're, oh, look at that.
Oh, yeah, look at the hurricane, yeah. Everybody.
Y'all, the roof came off.
Yeah, the roof flew off.
Flew off. And so there was just like a thin layer, I guess. And then water started coming in. So they didn't know where to go. Then they go over here. Where they put a mattress over a window.
And then the window exploded.
Then the window like exploded.
And she's like, wow.
Wow. Oh, God. This is so much.
That's a really good Ellie.
This is a lot to take in.
But do you think that's her affect? Because she's just had to steel herself for so long. She just can't. The trauma is just so much.
I wouldn't be surprised if... I wouldn't be surprised if Ellie had a lot of depression issues,
yep.
Maybe even suicidality. You know, I think it feels like she doesn't want to process emotions.
That's what it feels like to me.
I'll tell you the thing that showed it to me the most.
Y'all, Victor opens this little bitty fucking cabinet under the sink.
Oh, my God. I had to stop the video.
Says, y'all, we're maybe like two people could fit in here normally.
Yeah.
This is where he says.
Four people.
Himself. His sister.
Maybe three people.
His mother.
And their dog.
Her sister's son. Yeah. And their dog. Five beings all stood like legs up.
For 6 hours praying.
And 6 hours praying. Remember, y'all, in a Category 5 hurricane.
He said that, and I had to take a moment and go, holy.
You're never going to get over that. We have sissies that say that they have loved ones or significant others that got caught in a hurricane. And like some of them, they've sent me messages. Some of them can't even go to a beach anymore.
Yep.
Like they can't even be around it.
And her response is saying, I'll never understand what he went through. I'll never.
She's like, this makes it more real and how scary it would have been. And she's like, it breaks my heart. And this was honest, but she said, it breaks my heart and I'm having a hard time actually knowing how to help him.
I don't think he wants that. He doesn't want you to help him.
Well, I wrote in all caps, I went, Ellie,
just be there.
Fucking touch him and hug him. And he actually has to ask her, can I have a hug
from
you? That's true. And that's where I went, oh, this is empathy 101. She didn't learn this as a fucking kid.
Nope.
When someone's upset, you put their hand on their back. You tell them it's going to be okay.
Right.
You offer them a hug. Like, I know
well,
I was...
Well, for me, you ask me if you can touch me.
But still, it's like, even you know, like, if someone's upset, Poodle, if I'm, like, crying, Poodle at least would go like this. Yeah. Yeah, you go... but kind of touch me.
Yeah, I kind of like...
But to me, that was like... That was so...
It was pretty much aberrant activity. Yeah.
Yes. And it was so obvious to other us. I went, oh, you're really emotionally stunted. You really have no fucking clue of how to have emotions with people.
Did you notice that she did say, because I think she's so used to helping people in financial ways, material ways. She's like, I don't know how to help him. She doesn't know how to help someone emotionally.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And really, she just wants, you guys, if you want to help someone emotionally, the first thing you just need to do is be there. Just be there to hear them. And if you don't know what to say, I'm so sorry this happened to you.
This is
not
horrible.
Your fault.
This
is not your fault.
You did the best you could.
But I'm here to support you right now. And I don't have to tell me what I can do to make this easier for you. If you want to talk about it, great.
Yes. Or say things like this, if it's a trauma situation like this, saying, you're safe now, you're here with
me. Exactly.
You're okay.
You don't need to do or help anything.
This isn't going to happen to you again. We're going to take it, like letting them know.
She doesn't know what to do.
She doesn't.
Because it's out of her skill set.
So I wish when she said, I don't know how to comfort him, then I wish she would say like, later on or follow up and say, how do I get tools to do this? Because if you're with somebody, y'all, if it's your significant other, it's part of your job of being in a relationship is to be someone they can turn to.
Did you hear her say, and this was just, this was so obtuse. She's like, I will have more patience with you. Like, and it felt.
Because you're on edge right now.
And it felt.
On edge is when Starbucks fucks up your latte and puts almond milk in it instead of oat milk.
But no, your house, your home, where you've lived your entire life is destroyed.
And more importantly, not even that's a story, but you had a near-death experience.
Right.
You're emotionally gutted.
So later on, you guys, they're camping in a tent because there's no roof.
Yeah.
You can tell Ellie enjoys this.
I just want to say, Victor did say, it's weird. I thought Victor was having this self-reflection, and then he kind of becomes a dick later. But he says, maybe I'm not being the best person right now. And he said, I'm just not going to be able to get over it just yet.
I don't think he should be getting over it.
He shouldn't. And Ellie says, maybe I don't need to take this personally. However, I just want to bring that up because it made me feel really sorry for him. And then later on, I went, oh, this is subconscious manipulation, yep. I think. Go ahead, though.
Oh, yeah. That's why this whole trip to the house felt like, I'm going to really make her see what this is like for me so she'll behave differently.
And I don't think he consciously thinks that.
I totally believe.
It's all a subconscious pattern of control.
Anyway, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. She thinks she's in control. He's totally
not at all. In control. Not at all. She gives him money and that's it. Y'all, he tells her what, and then he dicks her down with that huge
cock.
Huge penis.
Yeah, he knows he emotionally, she is completely under his spell emotionally.
Exactly.
So there, he's like, you want me to just pour you some Colombian rum? So that way they can loosen up and finally talk like people, I guess.
Which I get, I wanted a drink after that fucking cabinet scene.
So, oh God. So, and Ellie is who she's, that you can tell, she's still in her fairy tale. She's like, do you think our love is holding the house together?
And he laughs and he's like,
and
go ahead.
She's like, you know, I'm living here forever with you. But I don't, you know, or I know what it is. He says, you're living here forever with me. That's going to be like, we'll get our bar. And she starts. You can tell Ellie she's been having reservations ever since she got to Providencia and went, ooh,
yep.
The whole submit, I made a terrible mistake, it Job is, face. Yeah.
Guess what? You're not on vacation opening your bar.
No. And so even though he's talking about the bar and she's kind of going, she's kind of looking down, y'all. And part of her, there is a voice inside her head that is saying, so when am I good to run?
Well,
when am I good to run?
How can I get out of
how
this?
How much do I have to money do I have to put into this so before I can leave?
And finally, and what makes it worse is Victor says, so when are you going to have a kid with me?
And y'all, and then becomes like that scene in Chicago with Richard Gere, ladies and gentlemen, a tap dance. And she's like, well, you know.
And right before that, Ellie said, it can only go up from here.
I swear to God, this may, I don't know, I have to think about this. I think this is the saddest 90-day story we've ever covered.
For sure.
Because even since moment one, you never felt like there was any hope.
I can't think of another 90 day that felt so.
Maybe I'm wrong. I'm just trying to think.
The only thing, it wasn't
Aladdin and Laura, but at least that was kind of funny.
Yeah, no, like Narkia and Loa was just, you knew was DOA.
That was dumb because you didn't really like either of them.
Yeah.
But Ellie's got this, even though she's got a lot of problems, Ellie's got this wide-eyed thing that you kind of want good things for her.
Yeah.
Mostly because she's had all this tragedy in her life, which she may have started.
Yeah.
But so later on, Victor says, I'm thinking about proposing to Ellie. Later on.
Think about proposing because he wants to propose.
I want to do it on the beach.
They want to have a child. He has a daughter already, and they want to have a child, and we've talked about that.
And so, y'all, but she keeps saying, she's like, well, I would like to give you a child. But you know, my age and everything, it's kind of a crapshoot, and I'm just...
She is 46.
But Victor, I'm not going to get my hopes up. So
she said, I don't know if I'm able to get pregnant.
These are shades of Michael and Angela.
They are.
And she's tap dancing like Angela in a nicer way.
Instead
obviously.
Of saying like, y'all, if she really wants, she would say, I really want to have a baby with you. It's going to be hard for us to do. We can try, but it's going to be really hard. But I really, she never says.
She's tap dancing.
She never says, I want to have a child with you too.
Nope. And.
It was nice when you thought you were going to have like. Island baby in vacation, but now that shit got real,
and then y'all, then she starts just every argument she can think of why they should not have it. She's like, well, look around us, this house is perfect for us, but a child we'd have to move again. This is what I was saying earlier, we're moving the goalposts. Now he already did that with a kid, so I blame him for this.
Well,
too.
No, he says, and she agrees. They've talked about kids before. He said that, and she said that too. So they've already. So he didn't. And that I'm not to defend him, but he brought it up at a wrong time.
And then y'all for the tap dance finale.
No, he said the house. He said, well, we can expand. We can live here and then expand the house.
But
and then,
she says, for the tap dance finale is, but what about money? Shuffle time step, shuffle time step.
Shuffle time, kickball change, kickball change. And she says, babies cost a lot of money. And then I wonder, with tourism comes back.
When will tourism come back?
No one's going to be here to go to our bar.
This is like a long Santa's list of why we shouldn't have a child.
And Victor is kind of like, well, we don't.
A bar is for everyone.
A bar is for everyone. Like, not just tourists.
I can see her point that this is maybe not the time. However, I can see his point that she's 46 and not getting any younger.
Well, and I think it's also a cultural thing. She talked about, like, what do they call this? They call it the Jamaican,
Latin America.
The Gulf or something. Of Latin America. And so, if we know from that.
Of South America.
Yeah. We know that from. What's her name from 90 Day Paradise?
Sherlon and I've already forgotten her
Amy,
name.
Amy, whatever her name is.
Not Brittany, because there's 1,000 of those. What was her name? People are screaming.
Y'all, but Sherlon, like, if we're assuming, this is an assumption, but just kind of from what we've seen a bit from 90, people
children are very important.
On island time. Children are important, but also everything works out. You don't stress about things.
It's all Irie.
You don't future think. You don't. It's all going to happen. God's will or whatever. Yep. It's all going
to
work
out. And y'all, he starts to.
So that's why he's saying the money's going to come.
And y'all, she's like, and this is, and it is, she has this sensitivity. The thing about it is.
And he says, you always ask about money. That's because he never thinks about money.
And she's like, well, someone has to. And y'all, this is masculine, challenging his masculinity. He's like, fine, I will pay you back for every cent you spent. She's like, well, I'll start adding it up then. And then it's like.
And he says, all you think about is money all the time. And I was like, bitch, she's paid for everything for this renovation. So, of course she's going to think about money.
So now both of them are on the defensive. Y'all, they're going to have the same argument in 1,000 different ways.
Yes, because he does say, then you can stop giving me money. She's like, well, then if it's money.
Money
says,
isn't
money's not
everything.
And she says, well, if it's not everything, then I'll stop giving it to you.
Now, that should have put a screeching halt to this. Because think what she's saying with that. Even though it's a fight. She's basically saying, I have all the power here, and I can choose to let you starve or not.
Yeah.
And I even though she said it in a nice way, an innocuous way, he recoiled.
He recoiled.
And y'all, he's a dick. Don't get me wrong.
And also,
here.
I think he's getting drunk.
He is.
His eyes look kind of yellow. He looks slurry. So.
He walks out.
I'm just like, hopefully he doesn't have like an alcohol angry thing. I worry about that too.
And she's still not processing, y'all. She's still kind of half smiling and drinking her rum.
But she starts, when he gets angry, she starts immediately calling him a fucking dick and a prick. And so then it goes to, instead of talking about the issues, let's attack the person. Y'all, that's a good
90 note. Day DOA.
90 Day DOA. Y'all, when you're upset, stick to the issues, not the person. Yep.
Even though you want to get personal, you're going to want to, but just don't.
But it doesn't help anyone.
Right, big head?
Yeah, fat thighs.
How dare you? Your thighs are better than mine.
No, they're not. But my head is gargantuan compared to yours. It is. I can't even find face masks that fit on me. I have one of them are sissies made. I need a.
That's why I'll never let you wear a shirt of mine. You'll stretch out the neck.
Oh, I will. Which sissy made that for? I need to. I will pay her to make more.
I don't know,
but I want a very specific kind. I want a mother poodle. I want a little. I want the little bands and then the nose thing she put in, but also want her to put a little thing where I can put in a filter.
I don't care about any of this.
Good luck finding my perfect
face
mask. That's
the show.
That's the show, everybody. You can go to realitygaze.com. It feels weird now doing it because it's like there should be an audience here. Just go, Y'all go to realitygaze.com. That's where you can find all information.
I'll jerk off the person who's here.
Exactly. Bum, bum. If you're watching on Intimate Portrait, this is the only one you got this week. Sorry, we did a live show.
We did a live show.
You get enough. You get enough. So y'all, I missed somebody's cameo yesterday.
I did.
Busy.
I did mine at the show.
Oh,
was it good? Anyway,
because I screamed at you and called you out.
You did. So we appreciate y'all so much. Again, we, as we said in the live show, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't the support of our sissies. Yep. We love and appreciate you very much. And sissies, we mean not just in the Facebook group. We do have a lot of fun in the sissy squad, but we know
you're all our sissies.
Well, you're all coming at us now on TikTok. You're coming at us on Instagram.
Reddit.
Sissies are everywhere.
Twitter.
And just so you know, we have no favorites. We see you all. We try to respond to you all as much as we can. Our Patreon and Supercast sissies. So we love you very much. We call these people Lonely Hearts Poodle because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love in all the very wrong, sad places?
Yes. And if you can guilt your fiancé by telling him that you had bad dreams about him and he should feel like shit more, you can call us.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.